Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's Lillard, uncorks a three, and he's pure again. Damian Lillard has come out dealing fire tonight.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Lillard crosses over, pulls up, launches from three. He's pure again. Oh, he has been absolutely lethal from outside to begin this game.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks back to 500 now on the season. Who would have thought coming in, getting to 500 is something we would celebrate. But the start to the season, certainly not what Bucks fans had envisioned or hoped to see. But the way that this team has come together to dig themselves out of this hole is certainly something to put a lot of optimism into. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks outlast the Miami Heat in a game played without Giannis. You still don't have Chris Middleton. You wondered in that second half especially, how are some of those minutes going to look when Damian Lillard has to rest? I saw there's a few people that I interact with during games, and one knows who he is. It said, what are some of these lineups that I'm seeing on the floor? I mean, what do you expect? You don't have Giannis. You don't have Chris Middleton. You can't play Dame and Brooke the full 48 minutes. And, you know, the minutes that you got from Marshawn Beauchamp in the first half, he looked good defensively. He gave you what you needed. He hit a three-pointer. Pat Connaughton has been a whipping boy for Bucks fans, not just this season, not just last season. Pat Connaughton was very good tonight. And to do that off of, what, four straight games of DNPs, very impressive. Doc Rivers singled him and Marjon Beauchamp out in his postgame comments about the work that they put in and the fact that they're able to not play and step up and give you the contributions that they did tonight. Damian Lillard was incredible, especially in that first half. You knew the Miami Heat were going to try to do everything they could to get the ball out of his hands in the second half, and that's what they did. But this team just did enough to win the game. I don't know if you can – you can't call this a defensive win. You can't call it an offensive win. It's a gritty win. A.J. Green hitting the biggest shots of the game as well. Torian Prince with some big late free throws. We've talked about what can galvanize a group and bring them together. Doc Rivers, not so much joked, but mentioned the NBA Cup a couple of weeks ago when this team was really in the depths of their lows to start the season. Well, maybe things like this can help bring a group together and start to turn things around. We saw what it did for the Indiana Pacers a season ago. He mentioned that again after the game tonight and said, I don't think the Pacers reached the conference finals last year if we don't have an NBA Cup. It's not this only, exclusively the NBA Cup. It's been a number of things. But maybe, just maybe, this does play a role in what we're seeing from the Bucks here recently. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Brandon, just get right to your game balls.
I was wondering if you were going to go right there. Real quick, though, Justin, I've used this term before with this team. I think I want to say it might have been Saturday when LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller didn't want to miss in that second half. This is an extremely resilient basketball team, and it's on display, obviously, the first 18 games of the year. You fall to 2-8. You're fighting through injuries. Gary Trent Jr. is fighting through struggles. You don't have Chris Middleton. Damian Lillard misses a few games of the concussion. Giannis is out, a late scratch, as you have mentioned, you and Dave talking about. Doc Rivers wasn't even aware of it up until I think one of the reporters told him. And you find a way to win. And it's remarkable. And it goes a lot of the credit, and I know a lot of Bucks fans love to use this punching bag, but a lot of the credit needs to go to Doc Rivers. Bucks fans need to realize that what he's doing with this basketball team in this stretch of games, and some of it's their own doing. And like you said, Justin, you kind of got to dig your own way out of it. And they have, and I just think he deserves a lot of credit. It's a resilient group, and it all starts with him and obviously the leadership of this team. But a few of those leaders, you know, have been hurt and banged up. So he's really stepped up. But I got two game balls tonight. I could easily give a game ball to everybody because I felt like in moments of this game, everybody kind of stood up and played a crucial role. But there's two. I think one's going to be what you would expect, and the other one might surprise some Bucks fans. The first one is Damian Lillard. That kind of goes without saying. Started the game 8-for-11 on three-point field goals. He carried them through really two-and-a-half quarters. He finished with 37 points. But the big thing for me, Justin, was kind of the same thing about a week ago, was the 12 assists. 13 was his career high, and he just accomplished that a little bit ago. 12 assists. He got, they were blitzing him. He was getting his teammates involved. A.J. Green with a couple of made back-to-back three-pointers when they were double-teaming Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard gets the first game ball and the second game ball. You mentioned it at the end there of the network post-game. Four straight DNPs, coach's decision. Pat Connaughton, Justin, coming off of the bench, hasn't played in those four games. 10 points it felt huge. Every bucket he made felt huge. But the big thing for me, and it's something I've harped on, is the rebounds. 8 rebounds off the bench. He only played 10 minutes. To get 10 points and 8 rebounds, I thought both of those were massive. It just felt good watching him. And I'll say this, it felt like I don't know what his box score looked like in that first game against Philly, Justin, but it felt like a lot of that type of game. Just kind of in the right place at the right time. He had 2 blocks. I thought he was fantastic. So my 2 game balls, Damian Lillard, Pat Connaughton. And if you're listening to the show, feel free to drop on and give us your game balls. Do we get a game ball out of Justin tonight? That's the question I think everybody wants to know.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight as the Bucks are now 8-5 in the month of November. So you started with that win on opening night in Philadelphia and promptly went 0-4 to close out October. The losing streak would eventually hit 6. But after a 1-4 October, they've gone 8-5 in November, and they, as of this moment, things could change, but as of this moment, they are in the top 10 in offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating in the month of November. And I believe they're 14 in all three of those categories for the full cumulative season. So things starting to move in the right direction for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Plenty of time to hear from you and to take a look at what's in front of the Bucks here. A big one. Who would have thought we're saying this Tuesday night in Detroit against the Pistons, and the rest of the Eastern Conference outlook. We'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.106-103 final in Miami. The Bucks win in what has been a house of horrors. They did win there last year in NBA Cup play as well, but to do so tonight when the Miami Heat, we mentioned this before the game, we're starting to get healthy. Jimmy Butler returned. He had been averaging 30-plus points per game in his last two games since returning. He was huge in that win over the Mavericks on Sunday. You played without Giannis, and you still don't have Chris Middleton. So, look, there were going to be some lean moments. And Doc Rivers said this after the game, too. Like, we felt like if we could just hold our own in the non-Dame minutes, maybe not necessarily win those. We have to win the Dame minutes. But if we can hold our own in the minutes he's off the court, we're going to win this game. And I think that's exactly what you saw tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Dick in Port Washington. I don't know. I know we talked at one point last week, Dick, and it seemed like it was starting to turn around for you. But where do we sit now at 9-9?
Well, you're at 500. That's where you are. I don't know if anybody, I don't know who else listened to your show last night, but your guest speaker last night, I think, pretty much summed up the Bucks. It's you got Dame and Giannis, and the other guys are going to have to step up. And tonight, I guess you can kind of say they did. I think it was closer than it needed to. I don't know why Connaughton just didn't take it to the hole at that point. Yeah. Why pass it out? And Jackson, I love his hustle. I love his defense, but he's a liability on offense. They back off. They don't have to do anything with him. What was he doing trying to even pass the ball? Dribble it out, give it to Dane. I mean, I don't understand how that happened. I think something's got to be done with that. But it is a victory. You're at 500. And we've got to get the other guys involved. And I think maybe taking Giannis out of there tonight upset it, because I thought we were starting to see that. And my final comment, you know, I'm not a fan of this tournament thing we're going to have. And to back up my point is in the post game, they asked Doc about it, and he said, where are we? Where do we stand on this thing? And, you know, I don't even know the rules of this. So I wonder if you ask him what the rules are in June when the playoffs start. I bet he knows every one of those. So that's my only comment tonight. I'll take the victory. We're at 500. Let's go from here.
Thanks for the call, as always, Dick. The Andre Jackson Jr. part, I mean, I talked about this earlier in the season. And in the off season too, when people were pointing to the young players, and you go back to what John Horst said in the off season, right? I think it was at the draft with his media availability, where he talked about their core six of veteran players, the group of young players too that were going to be a part of that. And now the rookies that they were sprinkling in, and people kept asking, you know, well, which of the young guys, you know, the Ajax and AJ Green, Chris Livingston, my guy, which of those guys has the biggest opportunity here to really start to click? I thought it was going to be AJ Green. I hoped it would be Chris Livingston, but I thought it was going to be AJ Green more so than Andre, because of that offense, because I was just curious to see, can you play him with that, especially in the minutes with Giannis on the floor. And we've seen Doc even himself say, yeah, there's, you know, early in the game, I had to pull him because we saw defenses sagging off of him. That was the case in that game against the Celtics. But where I will give Doc Rivers credit is this, and he kind of talked about it a little bit tonight after the game too. He hasn't just yanked him and not gone to him. You know, he's found ways that he can play him. And sometimes it's limited. Sometimes it is a quick hook. But, you know, very often you'll see if there is that liability, a coach is just going to say, well, I can't play this guy. And you're lost. And you're not part of the rotation. That hasn't been the case with Andre Jackson Jr. How much of that had to do with player availability, how much of it had to do with a 2-8 record early in the season where you needed a spark? Who knows? Only Doc Rivers and his staff know the answer to that question, but he's found ways to use him and found, where are his strengths? Where can I utilize him? Even mentioning after tonight's game, two of those turnovers that you referenced, where he didn't say anything to him. It were things that he was coached on, and they went over in film review of, you can't make this pass from the nail because the Heat are going to have length and hands in the paint there, and there it's just going to lead to turnovers. But he mentioned a couple of games ago there was a sequence pretty similar where Bobby Portis, it was the behind the back attempted pass on the fast break. And Bobby Portis said, don't pull him, don't yell at him, coach. He gets it. And tonight, kind of the same thing of, I didn't say anything to him. I know he knows. He's a smart kid. He works hard. It's something we'll go over after the game in film study. That wasn't the time and place. And it's things like that of, okay, you're going to make mistakes. We have to be able to live with that, and you learn on the fly, but we need to see growth from those mistakes. We need to see progress from that. So that's the big thing to track with Ajax, is how can he become an effective offensive player? We saw earlier in the season stashing him in the dunker spot. And, you know, one of the issues with that, especially in the minutes that Giannis is on the floor, is if he's going to be passive, it's going to allow the defense time to recover, and at times it's just going to clog up the floor if Giannis is around that spot. Tonight there was a couple of moments when the Heat started to really blitz and try to trap Damian Lillard, and he got the ball to Ajax, and there was at least two sequences where he just put his head down and went to the basket. Things like that are what you really have to look for from Andre Jackson Jr. going forward.
Justin, I'm at the point with him where tonight I thought that was really impressive, those two takes to the rack where he made both of them. But he does too much for this team for me to really get frustrated with him. In the moment, looking back at the turnover, especially in the moment that it was in, yes, you know, dribble it out, pass it off, whatever. I don't know if they had a timeout at that moment or not, but I think he's so valuable to this team, and it's not a coincidence that this team really started to take off when he was inserted into the starting lineup on November 7th. I mean, you can say what you want about him not being able to score. I mean, he 6 points, 9 rebounds tonight. What he does, too, on the defensive side are things that I'm going to live with through the growing pains. Now, keep in mind, he hasn't even played a full season yet. He's got 74 career games. And how many of those games has he actually caught minutes in? Maybe 20, 30 of them. I don't, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know. So he's learning, and I'm willing to live with the bumps and the bruises along the way. The same thing I am with A.J. Green, because where would the Bucks be tonight without A.J. Green? And there's a turnover he had tonight too, Justin, that was like he rushed the pass through, you know, really to somebody sitting on courtside. Bobby Portis wasn't anywhere near the pass, but these guys are so impactful that I think in this moment, in this part of the year, you're okay with that. Now, is that going to change in April and May? Yeah, maybe, right? Like, obviously, but you would imagine that at that point in the season, these guys have come a little bit along the way to rectify some of those mistakes. But, I mean, you go look back to that Indiana game. I mean, he had Halliburton stressed out. I'm talking about Andre Jackson Jr. He's picking up guys 94 feet on the court. A lot of things he does doesn't show up on the box score, but I'm willing to live with the mistakes that he's making for now, and I think eventually those will get fixed. And he's a key piece to this team and a very big piece to the reason that they are 7-1 over their last 8, or if you ask Doc Rivers, Justin, 8-0.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look ahead at Saturday against the Wizards, but this upcoming month for the Bucks as well, because this is a real opportunity for this team. It's one game at a time, but there is an opportunity in front of them to start to take off, to become that third team in the conversation in the Eastern Conference. So we'll take a look ahead to that. And I know Dick was a little confused on that. Doc Rivers said he doesn't understand the rules either. We'll take a look at what tonight's win means in the NBA Cup and what we've seen in terms of other groups having teams advance. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
106-103 final in Miami. Bucks without Giannis outlast the Heat. And now 9-9 on the season are the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. I do want to get to the schedule that's in front of the Bucks in December, but since this was a cup game, let's just dig into that. So the Bucks are 3-0, and all-time 7-0 in NBA Cup group play, including last season. They have yet to trail in a cup game this season.
Domination.
But they have not clinched anything. Doc Rivers had to ask after the game. It all comes down to Tuesday night. Even if the Bucks lost tonight, it didn't mean much. A loss tonight essentially meant it was open for a three-way tie. I mean, technically, for a four- or five-way tie. But the Raptors have now been eliminated with their second loss. The Heat are eliminated as well. The Pacers are eliminated. So this comes down to the Bucks and Pistons. If the Bucks lost tonight, you'd be 2-1. The Heat would be 2-1, and the Pistons would be 2-0. So it would set up the opportunity for the Bucks to win Tuesday, finish 3-1, the Pistons to potentially finish 3-1, and the best Miami could do would be 3-1. That's where point differential comes into play. It's meaningless for the Bucks now, other than seeding 1-3. Now it just comes down to winner take all Tuesday night in Detroit. Even if the Pistons lose Friday night against the Indiana Pacers, they'd be 2-1 if they beat the Bucks next Tuesday. They finish 3-1. The Bucks finish 3-1, and the Pistons have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So that's what we know so far about group play for Group B. We have not had a team clinch yet in the Eastern Conference. We've had two teams clinch in the West. Golden State Warriors clinched Group C at 3-0. And the Houston Rockets have clinched Group A at 3-0. Group B, right now, the Lakers are 2-0. They are playing the Suns, who are 1-1 as we speak. If the Lakers win that game, I believe they clinch. But I'll have to double-check on that. Nobody's clinched in the East, though. And what we have is either the Bucks or the Pistons winning Group B. In the in Group A, you have the Magic and Knicks, both 2-0. So you could have potential for a multi-team tie with two losses, though that is very unlikely. And Group C is the ultimate wild card. Right now, the leader of Group C is the Chicago Bulls, who are 2-1 with a plus 15 point differential. But in Group C, you have the Bulls at 2-1, the Atlanta Hawks at 2-1, and the Hawks beat the Celtics. The Celtics are 2-1. They beat the Cavs. The Cavs are just 1-1, but the Cavs do have a plus 15 point differential. So that one is definitely coming down to the final day of group play, which is 1 week from today, next Tuesday. The Bucks have a chance if they lose a close game to the Pistons, a pretty good chance to be the wild card since it comes down to point differential. But we know if you win, you're advancing to the knockout round for the second consecutive season. Go ahead.
I'm curious your thoughts on this tournament. Do you like? Are you a fan of it?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like?
I'd agree with you. That's why I don't understand. Dick's my guy, but I was kind of hesitant at first about this whole tournament, but I don't know, man. Like Friday night at Pfizer Forum, I know it was the Pacers that added a little bit of fuel to the fire, but it kind of does feel a little bit like a playoff game. That was my first in-season tournament game in person. But even tonight, I mean, the Heat fans were into it. It's a Tuesday night before Thanksgiving in South Beach, and I feel like you could feel the intensity through the television, through the TNT broadcast. I'm a big fan of it. I really like it, and I think you know, Doc Rivers can ask, "What's the, you know, where do we stand? What's the rule?" Blah blah blah. I think they care, and he said it. You know, they put it on their list of things they want to accomplish. I mean, that sells it enough for me, especially where they have it in the season too, Justin. I think it's a great spot. You know, a month or so before Christmas it starts, and then it wraps up in December, and then after Christmas is kind of when the season you really start seeing teams kind of strap down. So I kudos to the NBA. I was not big on it at first, the idea of it, but I've really grown to like it.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Again, the Bucks 500 now, which 18 games in is not something that I think any of us thought we would be celebrating before the season started, but following a 2-8 start to get to 9-9, to get to 500 this quickly is impressive, regardless of what the schedule is that the Bucks have gone through. Some thoughts on that as well, because I mentioned before, there's a real opportunity here for the Bucks to seize the third spot, really become that third team to emerge in the Eastern Conference, or at least join that conversation. We'll take a look at that. Remember, there is part of the schedule we do not know yet because of the NBA Cup, but it's a favorable schedule that is sitting here in front of the Bucks. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
106-103 final in Miami. Bucks beat the Miami Heat, get to 9-9 now on the season. We just mentioned the updates for NBA group play. You know, like we all envisioned coming into the season, it's going to be the Bucks versus the Pistons to determine who's advancing to the knockout round. And like we joke, but I am very, very much looking forward to that game because I don't want to make light of it. That is going to be like a playoff game in Detroit for a Pistons team that has not been good the last few years. They last made the playoffs in, what, 2019, I believe. They're on the come up, and they are hosting a game against the Bucks for a chance to advance to the Final Eight in this in-season tournament, the NBA Cup. So that is definitely going to be a playoff atmosphere for the Pistons Tuesday night. The rest of the schedule, though, that I hinted at earlier for the Bucks, you have a golden opportunity here. One game at a time. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But looking at the schedule that you have for the month of December and starting Saturday, the final game in November here, there are two games that the Bucks are playing as of right now, two games against teams that are above 500. December 6th, 1 week from this Friday, in Boston against the Celtics, and then you're done with the Celtics for the rest of the season. And you have one more game in Cleveland, December 20th, against the Cavaliers. That is your second-to-last game against the Cavs this season. Outside of that, between Saturday now and the end of December, two games with the Washington Wizards, another game with the Pistons, two games with the Atlanta Hawks, two games with the Brooklyn Nets. The Bulls are on there two more times. The Pacers are on there. Even the first week into January, that's where another one of those Brooklyn Nets games comes in. So three games between now and the first week of January with the Nets. The Blazers, another game with the Raptors. Between now and January 6th, this is a major opportunity for the Bucks. You know, all the criticisms of, hey, they're not beating anybody, they're beating up on a soft schedule, fine, so be it. Do that now while you're still waiting to get Chris Middleton back, while you're still sorting some things out and starting to develop that chemistry and everything else even more, getting more playing time for the young guys. Do that now and beat up on the young teams while you can start to turn the corner and round into form once that schedule gets much more difficult, especially in the month of March.
I hate when people and fans and criticizers always say, Justin, well, you're beating up on, you know, X, Y, and Z. Like, the Bucks are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. You know, going into the year, this is the team that we envisioned. You know, when I thought, obviously, Houston was really good coming into that game, and the Bucks obviously won that game. But right now, you're supposed to beat, you know, these teams that you're playing, Charlotte, you know, Chicago, and eventually we'll get to Washington and Detroit and Atlanta in the next few games. But this is kind of exactly what the Bucks are supposed to do, and this is, you can only play who's on your schedule. I mean, do people forget how this year started for us? The back to backs, the what was it? The Celtics twice and the Cavs twice in the first eight games of the year. It felt like it was a tough schedule for the Bucks, and it's still a team that hasn't been healthy. And to be at 9-9, where they're at right now, I think you and I and most Bucks fans, we would have signed up after that 2-8 start to be sitting at 9-9 and being able to kind of look at the schedule, as you pointed out, through the beginning of January and being like, you know what, this is a great opportunity to get off into 2025, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 10 games over 500. Now, I don't want to get, you know, too far in front of my skis, but this team is just clicking right now, Justin. And I guess that brings me to my point with you that I know that we may disagree on, but I got to ask you, and I'm sure Bucks fans have already pointed it out, when Chris Middleton comes back, because we know he's going to come back, any concerns with the mojo that they have working right now, because you're not going to have Chris Middleton come off the bench. So that,
well,
that you're going
to we don't know, and we got to wait until Chris Middleton's
I suppose
back to cross that bridge.
Right, but Shams reported that he's done five on five.
Doc Rivers said that too, but we got to wait until he's back to cross that bridge. Of the next 14 games that we know of, two are against teams with a winning record. Now there's two games that are unknown because of the NBA Cup, and look, if you lose to the Pistons and you're not in the knockout round, you could get another game with the Wizards, the Raptors, who knows? If you're in the knockout round, then it's going to be four of your 14, or in that case, 14 games against teams with a winning record. So there's the two games that we don't know, but of everything else, it's just the Cavs and the Celtics that you have between now and January 6th that have winning records. So again, just keep peeling off wins. What the Bucks have in front of them, their schedule kind of goes in patches. So you got a very, very difficult close to the season once you get to March. It's a gauntlet, quite frankly, to close out the season. And you got a lot of games that suddenly look like they could be more important now all of a sudden. But really, once you get into early March, you got two games with the Mavericks. You got the Denver Nuggets to close out the month of February. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder on there. You have the Warriors. Two games with the Lakers. The Phoenix Suns twice. Two games with the Nuggets, for that matter. Your final game against the 76ers as well, who we think right now that's going to be a tough game, but who knows? By the way, Joel Embiid and Paul George are both going to miss tomorrow's game. And Kyle Lowry, and that's a team that's 3-13. So it does have difficult stretches, but that's not anytime soon. So keep winning those games. To your point, you can only beat who's in front of you. But I think the most important thing of all of this is, like you had mentioned, they're doing exactly what we asked of them. Okay, here's your opportunity with the schedule that was in front of you before the homestand really started. A few people pointed to this. You got to win these games, and you got a chance to dig out of that hole. They've done that. You have the same opportunity now going into December. So can you do that there? Because last year, and again, this is what I would point to and say, look, I get the record thing of the opponents that you've beaten here. I mean, I would still hold up, hey, that Rockets win was a really nice win. And you've played pretty well and competitive against good teams. The Celtics twice, the Cavs twice. Defensively, you've played a decent amount of games against top offenses in the league, and that defense has been pretty good, especially in November. So the next step is going to be, once you do get those challenges, like next Friday in Boston, starting to beat some of those teams. But if we're being frank, these are opportunities the Bucks had a season ago that they did not take advantage of. So even if it's small, it is a sign of progress for this team.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see this team kind of shake off this the sluggish start, which obviously they have done, Justin, and kind of just play ball. You know, not necessarily have to answer the questions about the slow start and about, you know, winning games. I'm excited to see them kind of shake it off, get to what we anticipated. Obviously, that's a little bit different because now I think you and I are in lockstep that their identity is on the defensive side of the ball. And another great defensive game tonight, I thought, especially on Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, for that matter. But to just kind of have them, you know, go out and just play and not have to necessarily, you know, treat every game is a must win. I understand that every player will tell you they're playing a game to win the game, but it felt like, Justin, when they were 2-8, like, man, if you go to 2-9 or you go to 2-10, or 3-13, like, you know, and so they don't have to answer those questions and just kind of get out and just get into their groove. And I think that we're close. It's obviously 500, one step at a time. Damian Lillard talked about it on the post game on TNT that, you know, they're just kind of shaking that off a little bit and being able to be them and play their brand of basketball. And so I'm excited to see that because I think that's going to come. And obviously, down the line, we anticipate this team will be healthier, which will also add a different element, maybe offensively, that we haven't seen yet. So that's an exciting. So if you're a Bucks fan and you're not optimistic about this team, I don't really know what to tell you, because at 2-8 to be 9-9 and to not be healthy, really, Justin, in any of these 18 games, I don't know if they, I mean, you didn't have Chris Middleton obviously all year yet. You haven't had a healthy Gary Trent for the first portion of the season. You had Damian Lillard in and out. Giannis has missed some games. I don't know. I like this just feels like a really darn good team, man. It really does. It feels like a team that fits exactly what we have been looking for, with timely shooting, timely scoring. Tonight was a handful of different players at different times. Without your best player, you know, just a resilient team. You know, they should have been 8-0 in their last 8 games. They bounced back after that game in Charlotte that they got robbed at by the referees. And they bounced back the next night and they win. And they rattle off 4 more wins after that, 5 more wins after that. And that's the make of a championship team. And I know that's a weird term to use, Justin, at 9-9 in November. But these are the things that you have to look at when it comes to, can this team win in November? And I don't, or excuse me, in the summer. And I don't think anybody wants to play this Milwaukee Bucks team come playoff time.
Well, that all remains to be seen. But what they're doing now is the important part. And again, that schedule that we pointed to that's coming up for this team, why it's important is because as of this moment, 3 through 12 in the East is separated by just 4 games in the loss column. So you've been able to gain a lot of ground here. But if you start to stumble, you're going to fall right back down that hill. So taking advantage of the schedule is going to be imperative for this Bucks team. We'll get a couple of days off here and then a chance to close out the month of November with a 9-5 record and get up to 10-9, a winning record for only the second time this season. It could come November 30th, with the only other time being opening night more than a month ago. We'll take a look at that and wrap up the show after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, Saturday night at Fiserv Forum, the Bucks wrap up the month of November, a chance to finish the month 9-5 and finally get above 500 for the first time since opening night. We've talked a lot about the Bucks schedule, and this was one of the I had to quadruple check this, like hard to believe it's true. The Bucks, so let's just start here. The 10 easiest schedules remaining, and it's too early to get into the strength of schedule that's left, but I'm going to do it anyway. The 10 easiest schedules remaining, 5 of them belong to the Cavaliers, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Orlando Magic, and the Bucks. I mean, that is the benefit of playing in an Eastern Conference where we just mentioned 12 through 3 are separated by 4 games in the loss column. The Bucks have the 3rd easiest schedule remaining when you're ranking opponent win percentage that's left in front of them. Now, a lot of that can change because you got 3 games left with the 76ers, and if they do figure things out and turn it around, that's going to change things. But they got that one stretch in late February, March that I talked about. That's about it. The rest of the schedule is populated with a lot of these types of games. So just keep figuring it out. Keep winning. Keep getting that type of progress from Andre Jackson Jr., big moments from AJ Green, and just keep winning because it's there. And Doc Rivers was asked before the game by, I think, Tim Reynolds about, hey, does it seem like everybody's playing for third now in the Eastern Conference because of what Cleveland is doing and what Boston is doing? And Doc said, I mean, we knew Boston was going to be really good coming into the season. Like, this isn't a surprise. Cleveland was very good last year, and Kenny Atkinson's a good coach. Like, the fact that Cleveland is good is not a surprise. The fact that they've only lost one game and we're about to head into December, that's the surprise. But no, I don't think people are just automatically playing for third, because he even joked, look, we got 9 losses. I mean, we could run the table and finish 73-9. I don't think we'd be the 3 seed if that's the case. So there's still a lot of ground to make up for the Bucks, but it would not have been possible if this month of November was, what did we say they are, 8-5 right now? if this month of November, if you were 6-7 right now, like that's when you start to really question things and say, okay, all the conversations that you started to hear externally about what's the future of this team, what do they have to do, what moves to be made, is it time to start over? If you limp through November, again, it's still early with time to course correct, but that chatter gets a lot louder. So it is very important that they started to do this now.
Yeah, and Giannis and Dame during this course, Justin, I think through this part of this of the year, they're the top leading duo in the NBA right now. And so that, you know, we talk a lot about the identity of this team focusing in on the defensive side. I think the offense is slowly coming. I know I kind of beating it over and over again, but it just feels like it's eventually going to get moving in the direction that we've seen the defensive side of the ball move. Obviously, they're in the top 10 during the month of November, and the offense isn't far behind it. And again, when you got Giannis and Dame and you get a couple of these guys back and guys are starting to knock down shots, when you have a top 10 defense and you're nearing the top 10 in offense, you're cooking with gas. And I think the best is yet to come with this Milwaukee Bucks team. And I'm really optimistic. I was really down earlier in the beginning of the season because I don't think anybody expected that start, you know, and it was a rough schedule. It was tough. It really was. Some would say it's unfair, but nobody cares because it's the NBA. But it was, they dug themselves out of it, man. And they're playing the basketball that we had all envisioned going into this year. I'm just excited. I'm back to being excited, Justin, about watching Bucks basketball and not necessarily hoping that the game is close, where, you know, in parts of the season earlier on, you were hoping to be in the game. Now I'm excited to come out and go to South Beach where they've struggled, you know, over the course of Giannis's time and get a victory. I'm excited to see them, despite 50 points from LaMelo Ball and 32 from Brandon Miller, who both of them blew up in the second half. I'm excited to see them win that game and close out a game, you know, and I'm really thrilled. I think they have the right coach with the right team.
Yeah, a lot of good so far in the month of November with one game left. We mentioned O rating, D rating, net rating. It's all in the top 10. Offense, I still think it's got to be top 5 for you to really get to where you want to be. But you may start to take a big step forward on Saturday if, in fact, Chris Middleton is able to make his return Saturday night. They've been very efficient offensively, third best effective field goal percentage. I think they're 7th in true shooting rate in the month of November, but there are things to clean up as well. Last I checked, they were 27th or 28th in the amount of possessions that opponents run in transition. They've done a better job of defending in those spots, but they're still giving up a lot of transition opportunities. It's not just the age. Part of it is the rebounding. That's a big one. That it's just not what we've been accustomed to with this Bucks team. They are 2nd worst in offensive rebounding rate. They are 11th, I beg your pardon, in defensive rebounding rate and overall rebounding. They're 20th because of how low they are in the offensive rebound. So that's another number you need to start to see improve. But we've started to see a lot of growth here in the month of November. A chance to close out really strong, though. Potentially a 9-5 record in November, and maybe, just maybe, a big lift as well in the return of Chris Middleton. We'll have a better idea about that Friday. So I believe it is 4:30 Central Time, our time, that the Bucks would have to submit their injury report for Saturday on Friday. So keep your eyes peeled Friday afternoon. We'll see if there's any movement on Chris Middleton's status for Saturday night. But the Bucks and the Wizards, Saturday night, a much needed, 3 days off? Do the quick math here. 3 days off for the Bucks. After
a whole
quite
week for Giannis, too, to kind of sit.
Yeah. Yeah, full
Not
week.
Not playing tonight.
Full week for Giannis. So 3 days off, and then you close out the month with the Washington Wizards Saturday night at Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip time on Saturday evening. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Brandon and I will catch up with you then.